السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
أبو يوسف how are you؟
الحمد لله بخير.
Can we go on with our class؟
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Today بإذن الله we continue our book الأدب المفرد by الإمام البخاري رحمه الله from the chapter قصاص العبد أو قصاص العبد, the chapter about the fact that the slave will get retaliation on the day of Qiyamah for injustice that is directed to them. When you become oppressive, when you become aggressive against the slave, either without grounds, or yes, you have a reason to show some displeasure to that slave by speaking harshly or even beating the slave. If you go beyond bounds, if what you did, you're beating him or you're speaking harshly to him, becomes bigger than what that slave has done, the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the early Muslim teach us how to handle such a case, particularly when the individual becomes arrogant towards it. We've been advised that whenever such errors come to us, we should be nice to such persons. If it were actually slaves, we should free them. We read those ahadith. But some of the people would say, well, I have slapped you, so do your worst. Well, I have beaten you, and that's what I want to do. That's how much I think I should beat you. I have done just what I want, so do your worst, and things like this. This kind of tyrannical and domineering attitude of some of the people when they think that, well, I have done it and nobody can do anything to me. This domineering, oppressive, tyrannic approach of some of the people has also been addressed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Yesterday we ended with a hadith we read to us from Sunan al-Tirmidhi, and also it occurs in Sahih al-Targhib wa al-Tarhib by Imam al-Mundhiri rahimahullah, that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, it also occurs in Silsilat al-Ahadith al-Sahiha by Imam al-Albani rahimahullah, when a man came and sat before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that he had two slaves, inna li mamlukay, I have two slaves, yakzibunani, they lie to me, wayakhununani, they deceive me, they cheat me, wayasunani, and they disobey me. These are the worst things any of our subordinates could do to us. Our subordinates could be so bad that they would lie, they would cheat, and then they would not obey instructions. Instructions to come will be followed with a go action. And instructions to go may be followed with a come action. Instruction to sit down may be followed with a stand-up action. These kinds of disobedience, yes, they annoy the superiors. They annoy the employers of labor. They annoy those who own slaves. So this servant, this companion of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that companion of the Prophet Muhammad, radiyallahu anhu, that companion who came to sit with the Prophet and asked him questions, he now said, wa ashtumuhum wa adribu, I would abuse them and I would beat them, because sometimes they would lie, because sometimes they would cheat, because sometimes when I tell them to do something, they would not do it. So he asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa kayfa ana minhum, how will I be with them? What is the ruling between myself and them? what will be my share? Have I done well regarding them? He came to ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This goes to show how much concern the companions have regarding their own actions. In our own times now, we have concerns for the people's action and we pay less attention to ourselves. We're in a generation where, as people of Sunnah bi'idhnillah, as Salafis bi'idhnillah, we want to criticize the people more than take care of our own actions. As for this companion, and that's common with many of the companions, as we have read in these chapters alone, everybody wanted to care for himself and those around him. Yourself. He says, Kaifa ana minhu. How will I be with regards to them? How am I? Am I fair? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that yuhsabu ma khanuka wa asuka wa kazabuka. Yuhsabu ma khanuka. They are deceit of you wa asuka. They are disobeying you wa kazabuka. And their lying to you will be judged, will be estimated. وَعِقَابُكَ إِيَّاهُ. And then your beating them will also be judged. The two of them will be weighed side by side. فَإِنْ كَانَ إِقَابُكَ إِيَّاهُمْ بِقَدْرِ ذُنُوبِهِمْ. If you're beating them, it's just sufficient. It's just equal to the extent of the sin that they had committed. كَانَ كَفَافًا لَا لَكَ وَلَا عَلَيْكِ. Then that is sufficient. That is okay. That is a balance. La laka, you have nothing you have done, wala alik, and you have not committed a crime. If it is equal, when the beating becomes equal with the gravity of what they have done, then there is no problem. It will be weighed by Allah, not you. Allah will weigh if what you have done is commensurate with what the sins and iniquities they had done. Then there are no issues. La laka wala alik kana kafafa. Then that is equal. That is equivalent to one another. There is no anything, no grievance against you, and no virtue for you. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa in kana iqabuka iyyahum duna dhunubi. But if it were that your punishing them is even lesser than the sin that they had committed. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana fadla laka, then that is excellent for you. You have excess. It means you had been patient over some things, even with that, for that the excess of your benevolence and patience regarding them, you get the rewards for them. But وَإِنْ كَانَ إِقَابُكَ إِيَّاهُمْ فَوْقَ ذُنُوبِهِمْ. If you're disciplining them, if you're abusing and beating them, فَوْقَ ذُنُوبِهِمْ, comes to become more than the sin, more grievous than the sin that they had committed. Iqtussalahum minkal fadla. Iqtussalahum. Revenge, retaliation will be taken for them for that excess that you had beaten them. For that ziyada that you had beaten them. Iqtussalahum minkal fadla. That excess beating that you gave to them, it will be taken from you as retaliation on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said that, تَنَحَ الرَّجُلُ فَجَعَلَ يَبْكِي وَيَعْتِفُ. This is another big difference between we and the companions. When we some of us still become arrogant. Arrogance in Islam is recognizing the truth and deliberately rejecting it. This is arrogance. The truth becomes known to you and then you still reject the truth. It's a major aspect of arrogance. The second one is looking down upon the people. For some of the people, these two things combine in them. They will see the truth and they set it aside. And then they look at the people and look down upon them. This is the evil with many of the people in our own times. As for the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whenever their error became known to them, like in the hadith of Abu Mas'ud al-Badri, who was angrily beating his slave, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling him Aba Mas'ud, Ya Aba Mas'ud, Ya Aba Mas'ud. He said, Ma fahimtu al-qawl min shiddatil ghadab. I didn't even understand that call. من شدة الغضب, because I was angry. But when I turned and saw that it was the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, he threw away the whip. Abu Mas'ud in al-Bukhari, he threw away the whip. This is our own condition. This is their own condition. How is that? The companions would quickly turn in repentance. As for us, we'll gladiate in our own thoughts and ideas and analysis. Ibn Umar, when he saw his slave, we read that too in the past chapters. When he saw that he beat, he actually had to beat the slave. Oh, but the beating left a mark on you? Then I free you, go. Just because he found that I had been excess here, they quickly turned. وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَىٰ مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They would not continue upon a mistake they had committed after recognizing that it was a mistake. But in our own times, we like to gladiate, we like to analyze, we like to explain, we like to observe, we like to question, regarding others, even forgetting ourselves. We beg Allah to rectify us all. This companion, Tanaha al-Rajulu, فَجَعْلَ يَبْكِي وَيَهَتِفُ. He went away. He sat away. He was sitting in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to his side. فَجَعْلَ يَبْكِي. He began to cry over that error that he had made. رضي الله عنه وَيَهَتِفُ. So much so that his voice became loud. He was crying. And so loudly. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu salam narrated to him, Amma taqra'u kitab Allah. Did you not read the book of Allah? When Allah says, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. Did you not read in the Quran that Allah said, نَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ. We shall set off the weights of justice. لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of Qiyamah. Allah shall set up 2 pounds of justice. They will be weighed. So your beating them will be weighed with the sins they had committed. There will be clear cut weighing. So this will occur even regarding husbands and wives. Your wife will do something, you overreact. It will be weighed, don't forget. Your children will do something, you overreact. Don't forget that it will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. Your driver will do something, you abuse him beyond the limits. Don't forget that it will be weighed. Your friend will direct something to you. Yes, they had offended you. But how is your reaction if you are not pardoning? Is your reaction commensurate with the injustice, with the ill that they had directed to you? So Allah says, نَظَرُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The weights of justice shall be established on the day of Qiyamah. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. No soul will be treated unjustly, as you will not be treated unjustly. They will not be treated unjustly. Everybody will get the equal for what he has done. And if we go back to that verse itself in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah says, وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Allah says, "In kana mithqala, even if the matter be mithqala habbatin, the weight of a small seed of khardal, mustard, even if the matter was as small as the weight of the seed, of the mustard seed, it will be captured in that weight." Meaning that no matter how small the matter would be, when you cheat a person, when you oppress him, when you dominate him deliberately against his will, when you treat them badly, when you respond to something they did to you beyond the limits, don't forget, no matter how small that excess is, ataina biha, Allah said, we shall bring it up, we shall present it, we shall put it on the scale. Then Allah made us be aware, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nothing will be. Says, وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِ. We are sufficient as the ones who will make that weighing. We are sufficient as the one who will make the way. The Hasib is the one doing that work. I will do it. We are sufficient. Don't think that anything will go past us. It will not go. We shall do it. He mentioned it when he mentioned it with a pronoun that shows power and authority. I will bring everything to scale. So this makes us understand that dealing with people, generally speaking, whether your slaves, whether your subordinates, whether your servants, whether your nannies, whether your children, whether your wives, whether your friends, your colleagues at work, when you deal with them unjustly, Ataina Biha, Allah shall bring it up on the scales on the day of Qiyamah. That's why what behoves the rest of us is the kind of thing that those companions did. That's why being upon the way of the companions should not just be by the mouth. When this companion heard this, he says, Wallahi ya Rasulallah, I swear by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, ma ajidu liya walahum shay'an khayran min mufaraqati. I have not found anything best for me and for them than that they should go. He says, wa ushhiduka annahum ahrarun kullu. I make you a witness that they all become free. So they quickly, as they feel quick remorse for their mistakes and errors, they also hasten to do good deeds. I adjure myself first today, and the rest of us listening to me, for the sake of Allah, go and sit down now and start thinking about issues of injustice between yourself and people and rectify yourself. Because while we are still on the earth, we still have the opportunity for rectification. Look at that companion, radiallahu anhu, for himself, his rectification was immediate. This is the virtue of being the companion. They have that. They are stopping, ceasing from error and turning towards the path of rectification. It's so sharp and immediate. Don't postpone it. Look at your wife. Look at your husband. Look at your children. Look at your staff, your nanny, your cook, your servant, your driver, your gardener. How has your relationship been with them? If you had treated them badly, please try to start seeking rectification. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify all of us. This matter about being sure that on the day of Qiyamah, everybody is paid back by what he did. It also even has to do with the animals, the lower animals. Al-Imam al-Bukhari in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, under Hadith 183, we read Hadith 181 and 182 yesterday. Under Hadith 183, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حدثنا Abu Rabi, قال حدثنا Ismail. Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حدثنا أبو الربيع قال حدثنا إسماعيل قال حدثنا العلاء عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لتؤدن الحقوق في أو لتؤدن الحقوق إلى أهلها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لتؤدن الحقوق إلى أهلها حتى يقاد للشاة الجماء من الشاة القرناء لتؤدن الحقوق إلى أهلها لتؤدن الحقوق إلى أهلها حتى يقاد للشاة الجماء من الشاة القرناء. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah reported this hadith from his Shaykh Abu Rabi'. Abu Rabi' is Abu Rabi' al-Zahrani Sulaiman ibn Dawood. That's his name. Sulaiman ibn Dawood. Like the son of the Prophet of Allah, Nabi Sulaiman. That's his name. Abu Rabi' is Sulaiman ibn Dawood from the scholars of Qira'atul Quran. He used to teach the people Qira'atul Quran. It's good to be known for something upon the path of knowledge. Whenever this imam was mentioned, the ulama talked about him and said he used to teach the people Qira'atul Quran. Rahimahullah. So al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Haddafana Abu Rabi'a. That was al-Imam Abu Rabi'a, Sulaiman ibn Dawood al-Zahrani. He said, Haddafana Ismail. And Ismail, we read one of his hadith and the past that is Abu Ziyad al-Kufi Ismail ibn Zakariya. Yes, Ismail ibn Zakariya, Abu Ziyad al-Kufi, rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana al-Ala. Al-Ala is a well-known reporter of hadith. He has a hadith in Kutub al-Sunan. He's well known. He is Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman. Al-Imam Muslim also reported a hadith from him. He is Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman Abu Shibil al-Madad. Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman Abu Shibil. That is taking a kunya regarding an animal. The Shibil is the little one of a lion. Just like we have Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And we have Abu Hafs. Abu Hafs itself is the nickname of a lion amongst the Arabs. Abu Hafs, which was the kunya of, or the lakab of Umar radiallahu anhu. Abu Hafs radiallahu anhu. That was the nickname Arabs used to, by which Arabs referred to a lion. But the Shibil is the younger one of the lion. I think that's a call in English. So he is Abu Shiblin, Abu Shibil al-Madani. An Abihi is reporting from his father, Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub, the well-known student of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who is reporting from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who said, لَتُؤَدُّنَّ الْحُقُوقَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, لَتُؤَدُّنَّ الْحُقُوقَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. In some reports, he said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, لَتُؤَدَّنَّ الْحُقُوقُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. So it is reported with the two expressions, to adunna, you shall pay back. You shall get it. You shall pay back on the day of Qiyamah. That to adanna, it will be paid back to you. So there shall be paybacks on the day of Qiyamah. That to adunna, you pay back. That to adanna, paid back will be given on the day of Qiyamah. Ila ahliha. To those to whom they belong, rights shall be returned on the day of Qiyamah. Paybacks shall be done on the day of Qiyamah. Retaliations shall be given on the day of Qiyamah. Revenge shall be returned on the day of Qiyamah. Ila ahliha. To those to whom they belong. So don't think that you have done it and it has gone. And the expression shows that it involves everybody. And we shall see in the example the Prophet gave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will involve everybody. So don't think, I have done this one, I have done it. Don't forget. The right shall be returned to the rightful owners on the day of Qiyamah. And that's why one of the scholars, when he explained this, he said it will be issues of good deeds and evil deeds. People will have a lot of good deeds when they left this dunya. They made sadaqah, they make salat, they make tahara, they made hajj, they made umrah, they made sawm, tatawwu, fasting, and all of this. But they had eaten of the rights of the people. So the rights shall be paid back from their good deeds. And when the good deeds become exhausted, they do not have any more good deeds because they have had many injustices to pay back with their good deeds. There are no dinars and dirham. There are no naira and kobo, no pounds, sterling and dollars on the day of Qiyamah. So the good deeds are the things by which the rights will be paid back. Those people also want your good deed. They want your good deed. So when you insult them, you abuse them, you beat them unlawfully, and you treat them arrogantly, you oppress them, and all of these, even when they had offended you, we read the last hadith. You go beyond bounds in your own responses. That to adunna al-shukura ila ahliha, they shall be paid back. Your good deeds, your salat, your fasting, your umrah, your sadaqat, taking and giving to them. And the scholars explain that even when these good deeds become exhausted, then it will be taken from the sins of those people and returned on top of you. when your good deeds become exhausted, their own sins will be taken and dropped for you. Now imagine a day where you have your scale in front of you. The good deeds is placed on a scale and the evil deeds is placed on a scale. You already have an issue. Oh Allah, please help me. Let my good deeds overweigh my sins. And then those same good deeds you are hoping should go down, should weigh stronger than the negative deeds, than your sins and iniquities that you commit on your own. They now begin to take away from those good deeds. How hypertensive will the people be? How dangerous will that situation be? Because this is a situation of life and death. Worse, a situation worse than a situation of life and death. He had told us, فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ The one whose scales of good deeds are light. These are the people, أُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. They will be plunged head down. أُمُّهِيَ أُولَمَا سِيَ رَأْسُهُمْ رُؤُسُهُمْ. Their heads. The of an individual, the head of an individual is also referred to as his home, because that's the most important place on his body. Also, sometimes the stomach is also referred to as the home, when you consider the fact that the home of a thing could be the center of that thing. But usually this verse is translated, explained to mean that ummuhu hawiya, their head should be plunged, they will be plunged head down. Why? Khafat mawazin. His scale of good deeds became very light. And one of the reasons why the scale of an individual could become so light on the day of Qiyamah is because his good deeds are taken away and given to those same people he had oppressed, thinking that he was being civilized. Those same people he had harassed, those same people he had dealt with unlawfully, those same people he had beaten, those same people he had insulted unlawfully. His good deeds will be taken away and his weight of good deeds gradually becomes light. May Allah protect each and every one of us. While we live now, we still have opportunity for rectification. While we live now, we still have opportunity for rectification. Go back to those people you had oppressed, you have stolen their wealth, you had taken their property unlawfully, you had cheated them in a dealing. Go back and begin to rectify yourself. If it were slaves, servants, subordinates that you had treated badly, apologize now before it becomes too late. And then what you will need to give in place of your maltreating them will be your good deeds. May Allah protect each and every one of us. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَتُؤَدُّنَّ الْحُقُوقَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Right. Paybacks shall be given back to those who deserve them, who are rightful owners of them. Hatta, it will be so done. It will be so done. It will be done so much so that yuqad al-shat al-jama'i min al-shat al-qarna. Yuqad, revenge and payback shall be made regarding al-shat al-jama'i, the sheep that have no horn. The hornless sheep shall be paid for what Ashatul Qarna did to it. Ashatul Qarna is the sheep with a horn. So the horned sheep will get a payback for what it did to the hornless sheep. This one does not have a horn. This one has a horn while they were on the earth. This one that has a horn or that has the horns would hit the one who does not have the horn by way of oppressing it. What can you do? You can't do anything. There will be payback among these animals on the day of Qiyamah. If this is the case with animals on the day of Qiyamah, with livestock on the day of Qiyamah, how will it be amongst human beings on the day of Qiyamah? This makes us understand, firstly, don't forget, that as we human beings and the rest of the other creatures, the jinns shall be raised on the day of Qiyamah, the same way the animals will be raised too. all those animals that we had slaughtered during Eid, during Aqiqah, during all of these, they too shall be raised. This is one of the points of benefit in this hadith, because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hatta yuqad al-shat al-jamma min al-shat al-qarna. The animal, the livestock, the sheep without a horn, the hornless sheep will get its rights taken away from the horned sheep to get a revenge on the day of Qiyam. In a clearer hadith regarding this circumstance, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu reported that Ra'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam shatain tantaqihan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw two sheep head-butting themselves alayhi salatu wasallam. Says, Ya Abu Dharr, atadri fima tantaqihan. Do you know the reason for their head butting themselves? The Prophet was with Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. They both saw two sheep heading themselves, as people do today. They bring those sheep to head themselves. You are bringing these animals to issues of injustice. This is one of the things that makes us understand that it is from the ways of punishing animals, and it is not love. So when the Prophet saw that, alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, atadari fima tantaqihan? Do you know the reason for their headbutting themselves? Kultula said, I do not know, Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walakin rabbuka yadri, walakin rabbuka yadri, but your Lord knows. Wasayakdi baynahuma yawm al-qiyam, and he shall give a payback to the one who was unfair on the day of Qiyam. Yaqdi baynahuma. Allah shall judge between the two of them. You were unfair, you were fair. They will give a payback. That's why the ulama explained that this qisas that we talk about regarding even the lower animals, it will be qisasul muqabala. It will be retaliation of you get back what you did. You hunt this one unlawfully. Okay, take it. Take a horn. You receive your own. He will receive its own. So if this is the case, the Prophet only, alayhi salatu wasalam, employed this illustration to make us understand that if this is the case, even amongst lower animals, how about human beings? The slightest of the injustice will be addressed on the day of Qiyam. And for the lower animals, they don't have a Jannah or Nar. When this qisas, retaliation ends amongst them, Allah will command them kuni turaba. To command them, they should all become sand. They will become sand, these lower animals. That's why the kafir, when the judgment moves for human beings, he will say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. How I wish I was sand. He will be wishing to have been one of the lower animals who will be turned into sand. The kafir will say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. I wish that I'm sand. I will not have to go for Jahannam. May Allah protect each and every one of us. The point here, and I think this hadith is clear now, bismillah, is that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, latu'adunna al-hukuku ila ahliha. Rights shall be paid back to those that are rightful owners of it. Hatta yuqad al-shat al-jamma min al-shat al-qarna. So much that the shat, the sheep, that is a hornless sheep, al-shat al-jamma, the hornless sheep will get a retaliation taken from al-shat al-qarna, taken from the shat al-qarna, the horned sheep. The horned sheep will get a payback for what it has done. That hadith is a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and it's an authentic hadith. It also occurs in other books of hadith from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I like us to leave hadith 184 and come to hadith 185 and 186. We quickly come to hadith number 185 and 186. They are one and single hadith, and they come in the meaning of the hadith we had just read. Then we come back to hadith 184, inshallah. In hadith 185, al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا محمد بن بلال قال حدثنا عمران عن قتادة عن زرارة ابن أوفى عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من ضرب ضربا اقتص منه يوم القيامة من ضرب ضربا اقتص منه يوم القيامة. And in 186 it says, حدثنا خليفة قال حدثنا عبد الله بن رجاء قال حدثنا أبو العوام عن قتادة عن عبد الله بن شقيق عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال من ضرب ضربا ظلما اقتص منه يوم القيامة. Firstly, we are taking the two hadiths because they are one and the same hadith. They have been reported from Abu Huraira from two sources. One of them was from Zurara ibn Awfa. Zurara ibn Awfa was Abu al-Hajib al-Qadi. That is hadith 185. In it, al-Imam al-Bukhari said, حَدَّثَنَا Muhammad ibn Bilal. That was his sheikh in this hadith. He says, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا Imran. Imran here is Imran ibn Dawar, Abu al-Awwam. Imran ibn Dawar Abu al-Awwam is the one reporting from Qatada. Qatada is ibn Di'ama al-Sadusi, and he is reporting from another tabi'i, Zurara ibn Awfa. Zurara ibn Awfa rahimahullah, who is reporting from Abu Huraira that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, man daraba darban qutussa minhu yawm al-qiyam. Man daraba darban, whoever gives a beating. Whoever gives a beating, uqtussa minhu yawm al-qiyamah, it will be given, a retaliation will be taken against him on the day of qiyamah. Man daraba darban, whoever gives a beating. In this case, it will be understood to mean an unjust beating. Perhaps there was no ground for beating that person in the first place. Or that, yes, there are sufficient grounds for the beating, but you went beyond limits regarding the beating or regarding the insult or the abuse and the like of that. Uqtussa minhu yawm al-qiyamah. Retaliation will be taken from him on the day, against him on the day of Qiyamah. To make us understand it better was why Al-Imam al-Bukhari came with that hadith in 186. It makes it become clearer. It says, man daraba darban zulman, whoever gives a beating unjustly. So we can understand now. That's 185. When it says man daraba darban, it is talking about darban zulman. And we'll understand that in hadith 186. It makes it clearer. It says man daraba darban zulman uqtussa minhu yawm al-qiyamah, whoever gives a beating unlawfully, uqtussa minhu yawm al-qiyamah, it will be taken away in retaliation from him on the day of Qiyamah. We see that these two hadiths, hadith 185 and 186, are in the meaning of the hadith of Ammar ibn Yasir. He had told us yesterday that when Ammar said, radiallahu anhu, that la yadribu ahadun abdun lahu wa huwa zalimun lahu illa uqida minhu yawm al-qiyamah. La yadribu ahadun abdan lahu. No one would beat abdan lahu, any of his slaves, wa huwa zalimun, while being unfair to that slave. He says, illa uqida lahu minhu yawm al-qiyamah, except that that person will be taken, given, it will be taken from him in retaliation on the day of Qiyamah. We said that is from the aspects of a hadith that is basically mawquf, basically a statement of the companion, but lahu hukmul marfu, but that has the ruling of a statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here in 185 and 186, these are clear-cut statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that من ضرب ضربا ظلما. Whoever beats a slave, and why he did that, the beating is an unlawful beat. He had no reason to beat the slave. Or that he was beating the slave beyond what is commensurate. Uktussa minhu yawm al-qiyamah. The revenge will be taken of him, retaliation will be taken regarding him on the day of Qiyamah, by way of his giving from his good deeds. And when he has no sufficient good deeds, the sins of the persons that he had beaten will be called against him. So how do we rectify that now that we are still on the earth? By going to appease those people we had beaten unlawfully, giving them gifts, sending them things to make them happy, and perhaps expressing clear-cut apology for what we would have done. May Almighty Allah forgive each and every one of us. Now we go back to Hadith 184. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said in it that حدثنا عبد الله بن محمد الجعفي قال حدثنا أبو أسامة قال حدثني داود بن أبي عبد الله مولى بني هاشم قال حدثني عبد الرحمن بن محمد أخبرتني جدتي عن أم سلمة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان في بيتها فدعا وصيفة له أو لها فأبطأت فاستبان الغضب في وجهه فقامت أم سلمة إلى الحجاب فوجدت الوصيفة تلعب ومعه سواك فقال لولا خشية القود يوم القيامة لأوجعتك بهذا السواك. زاد محمد ابن الحيثم تلعب ببهيمة قال فلما أتيت بها النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قلت يا رسول الله إنها تحلف ما سمعتك قالت وفي يده سواك. Imam al-Bukhari mentioned this hadith. One of the reasons we brought this hadith in the last of the series of these hadiths, one first reason is that the hadith is a weak hadith, even though it has the meaning of the entirety of the hadith that we had read under this chapter. Imam al-Bukhari reported it from his Shaykh Abdullah ibn Muhammad al-Jurfi, who said that he reported from Abu Usama. Abu Usama in this hadith is Hamad ibn Usama, Abu Usama. Abu Usama here is Hamad ibn Usama. He said, حدثني داود ibn Abi Abdullah مولى بني هاشم. Daud ibn Abi Abdullah, who is a free slave of Banu Hashim, the tribe of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, حدثني عبد الرحمن ibn Muhammad. عبد الرحمن ibn Muhammad is عبد الرحمن ibn Muhammad ibn Zayd ibn Judan. This reporter is mentioned to be majhul. This reporter is mentioned to be majhul. And he is saying that akhbaratni jaddati. My grandmother told me. My grandmother narrated to me. The grandmother also lam tu'raf, was unknown. So we have two unknown reporters. The first one is Abdurrahman ibn Muhammad ibn Zayd ibn Judan. He is not known to be a trustworthy reporter of hadith. And akhbarat and jaddatihi, his grandmother that he mentioned to be reporting from, was also not known. This makes us understand that hadith is weak. And the grandmother he was mentioning, not known also, was the one who said that she heard from Umm Salama, who was reporting from on the authority of Umm Salama radiallahu anha. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. It said in this hadith that Umm Salama said, رضي الله عنها, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان في بيتها, was in her house on one day. فدعا وصيفة له أو لها. And then the Prophet called one of وصيفة. وصيفة is the young slave. The young slave that has just reached the age when you can send them on errands. They are referred to as wasifa or wasif, the young slave that has just reached the age when you can begin to send them on errands. They are referred to as wasifa. So this Waqifa lahu, it was the young slave of a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or that it belonged to Umm Salama radiallahu anha, fa abta'at. That slave made ibta. She went and stayed long without coming to give a response on the message. Fastabana al-ghadabu fi wajhi. And al-ghadabu istabana fi wajhi. Anger showed, anger became expressed in the countenance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is in this report that is weak. فقامت أم سلمة إلى الحجاب. أم سلمة رضي الله عنها stood to the area of the curtains. Perhaps if she lifted the curtains, she could see what's happening to that girl. فوجدت الوصيفة تلعب. So she found out that that little young slave was rather plain. ومعه سواك. And that slave had with her سواك, a piece of chewing stick. فَقَالَ لَوْلَا, and then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْلَا خَشْيَةُ الْقَوَدْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, if not for the fear of retaliation on the day of Qiyamah, لَأَوْجَعْتُكِ بِهَذَا السِّوَاكِ, I would have given you a painful beating with this chewing stick. But don't forget that the isnad of this hadith is not authentic. He went on to say that زَادَ مُحَمَّدِ ibn Haytham, Muhammad ibn Haytham is Muhammad ibn Haytham ibn Hamad al-Thaqafi. He was one of the colleagues of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and some even say amongst the scholars that Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported some ahadith from him, and perhaps this is one of them. He said in his own report that falamma, that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, falamma ataytu biha nabiyya, when she brought that wasifa to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kultu ya Rasulallah, innaha tahlifu ma sami'atka. The girl Umm Salama was saying to the Prophet, I said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innaha tahlifu. This young girl was even vowing and making an oath that ma sami'atka, I didn't even hear the Prophet calling me or sending me on an errand. Qalat wa fi yadihi siwak. On that occasion, that little young slave had a chewing stick on the hand. But let's not forget that this hadith is weak. The point of reference in it is that لَوْلَا خَشْيَةُ الْقَوَدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَأَوْجَعْتُكِ بِهَذَا السِّوَاكِ. That statement that was attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, if not for the fear of retaliation on the day of Qiyamah, لَأَوْجَعْتُكِ بِهَذَا السِّوَاكِ, I would have flogged you, I would have beaten you, and you will feel pain. I would have given you a painful beating using this chewing stick. This makes us understand still, and it's in the meaning of the ahadith that we had read, that retaliation will be given to slaves on the day of Qiyamah. Retaliation will be given. That is, they will take back what you had done to them unlawfully and unjustly. It will be taken back from you and returned to them, perhaps from your good deeds. Or that if your good deeds are not sufficient enough, their sins will be taken and hauled unto you on the day of Qiyamah. If you are a person who used to beat or abuse your subordinates without any grounds, or that even when there are reasons for you to do so, you go beyond limits, what you do to them will be weighed by Allah on the day of Qiyamah, and your excess beating or your excess abuse will be paid back to you by taking from your good deeds or by bringing from their own sins and pouring it upon you. I think that this chapter is clear, bismillah, about Qisasul Abd, the retaliation for the slaves regarding the unjust treatments that they would have suffered from their owners, or retaliation regarding subordinates because of the evil treatments they would have received from their superiors. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all and not make us from the people that the arrogance will give a blindness such that they will not be able to rectify their situation, or to be unfortunate for anyone to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. You had done a lot of good deeds, but these good deeds will be taken away from you because of your arrogant postures towards those people who are serving you. They serve you. The nanny serves you. The cook serves you. the gardener serves you, the driver serves you, you'll be so haughty towards them and abusive to such an extent that they will be the same persons who will take away the entirety of your good deeds. This is a bit unfortunate for whoever would have fallen into this kind of a situation. Beg Allah to protect each and every one of us. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here today, and then we'll continue with the next babun uksuhum mimma talbasun, the chapter about providing clothing for our slaves and our subordinates. Bismillah, we'll continue from that in our next class, inshallah. If we have a few questions from Abu Yusuf, we can address them as much as the rest of the time that we have will permit. Bismillah, Abu Yusuf.
Jazakum Allah khairan, ya Sheikh Khan. The first question reads, can one escape this punishment of unjust dealings on the day of judgment via istighfar while still alive, especially when it was done when ignorant and young, and no hope of ever seeing the offended ever again because they are knowledge?
If it's not possible to find those that you had oppressed and treated unjustly, make sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give a lot of sadaqah. Fast a lot. Sadaqah is one of the things that removes the punishment a lot from individuals. The punishment of the day of Qiyamah, most of it will go away if a person gives sadaqah. Give a lot of sadaqah after your repentance. Give a lot of sadaqah after your repentance. If it happens that you are not able to see or meet those that you have treated so badly and unjustly, give a lot of sadaqah. And don't forget, like you said, make lots of istighfar from words of the mouth that reaches the mind. Bismillah. May Allah forgive each and every one of us.
Ameen. Jazakum Allah khairan, Sheikh Khan.
Ameen.
Is it allowed for policemen to torture innocent suspected criminals, all in the name of getting the truth out of them?
Well, even on the mouth, by law, they would say that it is not lawful to obtain information from an accused by punishment, by compulsion, by punishing the person, by torturing the person. In the court of law, they say that it is wrong. That's why sometimes when accused makes some statement, he comes back to say, oh, he made it under duress, or she made it under duress, she was tortured, or he was tortured to make those statements. These kinds of things happen a lot. It means that the law itself that the people operate, it does not allow that a person who was only accused, he had not been found guilty of a crime or an indecency, he is tortured for the same indecency in the name of obtaining information. Now, when you obtain the information and you find that he was not guilty, how do you pay back for the torture? How do you pay back for the torture? So if you are doing that, that's for you. That's for you. Even the law that you operate, it prohibits you torturing a person to obtain information from him. So how about the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he will bring it up. So if you do it, if you did it, that's for you. You've known what Allah wants. You've known what he has ordered. You have known what he will do on the day of Qiyamah. These laws of Allah will not change because of you being in the police or being... It will not change because of you. That's your own issue. Even the law that you operate prohibits that. Some people might have even been killed without even undergoing any investigative process. People would have been killed. Lives would have been lost. How do you, a Muslim policeman or army, or how do you explain that on the day of Qiyamah? When the scales of balance and justice will be placed by the ever and absolutely just. And these things will be placed on your own scales of evil deeds. How do you explain that? How do you explain the beating you gave to people, innocent people, in the name of being, because you wield a gun or you wield a weapon they are not having? You beat them, you harass them, you insult them. Everything will be placed on the scales of justice. Allah says, "Wa in kana miskala habbatin min khardalin atayna biha." Even if it be as small as the weight of the mustard seed, atayna biha, we shall bring it up. In Luqman, Luqman was advising his son, "Ya bunayya, in kana," how did he say, "miskala habbatin min khardalin fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati." Even if you go to hide it under the sea, under the ocean, under the rocks, so no matter how much you hide the fight, you hide your actions, Allah shall bring it to the fore and shall place it on your scales on the day of Qiyamah. Don't say because you're a police, your own Sharia, your own Quran has to be revealed for you. There is no such thing. Allah has told you what He has ordered His messenger to tell you. It remains for you to know where you belong. May Allah protect each and every one of us.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan wa shukran.
Ameen.
How do I rectify an injustice and unduly benefit from the punch in my custody from group of investors who I helped to manage their funds? The funds were not stolen, but I benefited from it without their knowledge. And I can't put a figure to the amount. So how do I rectify this?
Can you ask this question again, Abba Yusuf?
How do I rectify an injustice and unduly benefit from the funds in my custody from group of investors who I helped to manage their funds? The funds were not stolen, but I benefited from it without their knowledge. And I can't put a figure to the amount.
Well, have they told you to benefit from it? But from the question, it appears they have not told you to benefit from it. Yes, approach them and let them know what has happened. Approach them and let them know. It's better to settle all these matters in this dunya. Approach them to let them know what has happened. I have benefited from your wealth. I did not cheat you, but I benefited from it. You gave me to keep. I managed. I benefited from it. Perhaps he had even charged them for keeping and managing the funds. So, aside those charges, he still went on to make more benefits. Approach them and let them know. Sometimes they may say, go with it. Sometimes they may say, give us. If they say, give us, give them. If they say, give us, if you can't find it, ask them for permission. Please, I can't find it to give you. Forgive me. They can forgive you. Bismillah. Allahu a'lam.
Please, what exactly is backbiting in Islam? If I tell someone about what someone else did to me that is bad, is that backbiting?
Well, al-ghiba in the Sharia is, like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, dhikruka akhaka bima yakrahu. You're mentioning regarding your brother what he hates to be mentioned regarding him. He had a defect on his body. You say, oh, that brother, the brother with a broken leg. He wouldn't like to be referred to as a broken-legged person, even though that's the situation. Mentioning it by way of insulting and abuse is something behind him. He wouldn't like it if he heard it, or is blind, or he did this, or he did that. You start talking about him. When you mention these things regarding him, it is not lawful for you to do so. And that's why some of the scholars have mentioned that from the aspects of repenting about al-ghiba, backbiting, is that you seek redress, you seek the person you have backbeaten, you seek him to forgive you. And from that also is that you mention him with goodness in that same gathering that you had mentioned him with evil, if it was a gathering. If it was a person that you had told evil of him, you go back and tell good about him regarding that person. So two things. If you had backbeaten, you don't backbite him. to one single person regarding another brother, go back and speak well of him with that person. Find one good thing you know of him and say of it by way of canceling out the evil that you had done regarding him. Secondly, if it is easy, the reason I say if it is easy is that some of them say that sometimes when you bring these matters, it may even cause enmity between the two of you. If it will not cause enmity between the two of you, you can approach him and tell him, I had said so and so about you behind you. I want you to forgive me. If it will not bring more enmity between, if it will bring enmity, it suffices that you go back to the same platform where you had done backbiting to redress and then say something good about it. I hope that that matter is clear about you so briefly.
How would good deeds be taken from unbelievers when they have acted unjustly on earth?
How will what?
Good deeds be taken from unbelievers, the kuffar, when they have acted unjustly on earth?
When non-Muslim have acted unjustly, the first answer I'll give you on that is that Allah knows how to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to do that. Whether I can provide an answer that's suitable for you now or not. But don't forget that if a non-Muslim did something evil to a Muslim and we can't find good deeds with him, the sins of the Muslim can be added to that non-Muslim. Sins will be released from the Muslim and added to the non-Muslim. What will that do to him? It will add to his punishment. I hope that it is clear. It is not just about good deeds being taken. If the person does not have good deeds, as will be in the case of many of the non-Muslims on the day of Qiyamah, their sins, the sins of those Muslims that they have wronged, will be taken and heaped upon them. I hope it is clear by Yusuf. Now,
how can we deny a child who punish him if he committed an error?
Can we make this the last question today? Can we deny a child food to punish him if he committed an error? It depends on the error. It depends on the enlightenment plan you have as a parent. It should not just be about denying him food. What do you want to achieve with that? Will you achieve it? The goodness you want to achieve, will you achieve goodness with it? What extent of goodness will you achieve? The error the boy has committed or the girl is denying him food commensurate as a punishment for it. It is where you answer this question that will determine whether that kind of action is lawful or not. Allah, I think we can stop here, Abba Yusuf. We hope that Allah to the next class and thereafter. May he forgive each and every one of us our mistakes and our errors and our sins, and make us from amongst the people who will not have to lose their good deeds on the day of Qiyamah because of injustice. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.